The following is an encore episode of Hour One of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive here on Archangel Radio. My name is Kevin Turley. I'm your host for the next 2 hours of radio like you've never heard it before. Coming to you live from London, a very, very snowy and cold London town. You wouldn't believe it this morning. We woke up with this thick blanket of snow everywhere. It was beautiful and wonderful. Now listen, happy feast day to everybody, especially those of you in the Americas that are listening, be it in the northern part of North America or in the southern part, Central and South America, because today is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And that lovely music you heard on the way in, and which we will be reprising throughout the show, is based upon musical notation found upon the tilma, the cloak, of the Saint Juan Diego, who saw Our Lady. But more of that in the next segment when we speak to Paul Badd, who is a historian, a journalist, writer, all sorts of good things, and has written a wonderful book called On Mary of Guadalupe. It's called Maria of Guadalupe. And he'll be joining us in the next segment to talk to us about that mysterious image. Is it man-made or is it divine? And what's the significance behind it? We'll find out in the next segment. Now, I know I joked a lot about the phones not working. Do you remember? I would always be asking Mike if the phones were working. Well, guess what? Last week, we discovered they weren't working. Can you believe this, that the phones weren't working?
Correction. They weren't working on Friday. They were working on Thursday. They just weren't working on Friday. We were having some technical issues. So.
Good. Well, the good news is that they're back working this morning. And what I'd love you to do is give our new telephone talent coordinator a telephone ring on 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. Would somebody please call in just to check that they're still working for my peace of mind, if for no other reason? Now, as I said, we've got a new telephone talent coordinator. He's also assistant producer to Mike, so Mike is very happy about this. And, is he there? Is our new crew member there,
Mike? Yes, he is. His name is Reed Hodges. Reed, this is welcome to the Turley Frequency. So I'm glad that you can join us and you'll be my assistant from now on.
Hello, everyone. I'm excited.
Reed, we're more excited than you are that you've joined the good ship Turley Frequency. With Mike as our pilot and me as the onboard entertainment, and now you working the phones, we should be fine, right?
I hope so. I'll do my best.
So listen, Reed, I've just put out the number, 888-928-0881, so it should be meltdown on the phone's system now for the next 10 minutes.
Okay, then. I'll be ready.
Well, I hope you don't fall asleep at the telephone. If it goes like anything in the last couple of weeks, you might be waiting a little bit. But seriously, give us a ring and let us check that the phones are working. And more importantly, we are doing the Divine Mercy at the top of the hour. And that's the time when you could phone in with your prayer requests on 888-928-0881. Or if you like, at any time during the show, text us on 251-928-2111. Please do send us in your prayer requests. We are only too delighted to pray for you. So we've got that at the top of the hour, and then we're finishing off today with story time, and boy have I got a story for you. It's a special story about pregnancy, and for anybody listening who's a mother, who's been a mother, who may have lost a child, this is a story for you. And it's a very recent story about a very special woman. And I remember when I came across it a few years ago, I couldn't believe it myself. But you are in for a treat. The only thing I will say is that It's an affecting story. You have been warned, okay? Now, I have to ask, Mike, did you go to the boat parade at the weekend?
You know, we didn't stay for the boat parade, but we did go, to the wharf. The kids were kind of getting tired and ready to go home. We ate and went to the shops and to all the different vendors and did a little Christmas shopping. But we saw some of the boats, though, that were going through the canal and making their way and getting ready. And they were really neat. They were really neat. But we didn't stay. But we had a great time on Saturday. I went to a birthday party for the kids' cousins. And so my wife's little niece I think it was her 7th birthday. And so anyway, we celebrated that. But had a good time.
So you didn't get seasick at the boat parade?
No, I haven't gotten seasick yet. You know, knock on wood.
Never.
Here. So
oh.
I haven't. Oh. I've been blessed. I enjoy the ocean. I enjoy the Gulf, the waters. So I really do. I love. My brother-in-law has taken me fishing on his fishing boat. And we just had a great time. I love to fish, whether it's a boat or whether it's on the on a dock, a fishing pier. I enjoy the water. I really do. It's one of the blessings of being down here in Lower Alabama.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm afraid I enjoy being on the sea. I like the sea air and that, but I'm afraid I have far too many memories of whatever way I'm built, a seasickness and me sort of go together. So it's not always plain sailing, so to speak. Now, did you watch anything of the football at the weekend? Sorry, the soccer at the weekend?
I did watch American football, the real football. I saw an Army-Navy game, which takes place every year. I think it's like the second week in December.
Who won this year?
Army won this year. Navy.
Thank heavens for that.
Right. our executive producer, Michelle, was, I know, very happy about that. She was.
I wondered she was in a good mood.
Yeah, she was with the Army. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she flew helicopters and what have you. And so, she was, I know, particularly thrilled about that. But it was a great game. It was the first Army-Navy game to go into overtime. And so went
do,
into.
Do you have overtime, extra time, as we would call it? Do you have that now in American football?
We do.
Oh, wow.
So there was a game a few years ago, Kevin, that went into seven overtimes. It was between LSU and Texas A&M. Seven overtimes.
How long is it overtime, roughly?
Well, it's...
Is it half an hour?
No. They start from the 25-yard line, and there's no particular time limit on that. You start from the 25-yard line. You've got four downs to try to, you know, either score a touchdown or kick a field goal. And then if once you score, the other team gets a chance to either score a touchdown or tie it up with a field goal. And then you go on to the set. If it's tied at the end of the first overtime, then you move to a second overtime. And after the second overtime, then you just you start from the 5-yard line and you have to make a 2-point conversion. And so whoever is the first to make a 2-point conversion and then stop, the other team has a chance to make a 2-point conversion. And if you stop that other team, then you win.
Right. So, I mean, it sounds so much more complicated than soccer, where we just play for an extra half hour. And if there's no score, then you go to penalties. But I suppose in the Army and Navy match, you would go to, instead of penalties, you'd just go to shooting each other, maybe. Is it rifle practice?
Pretty much.
Whoever's the best shot wins.
Well, whoever scores a touchdown or a field goal. Obviously you try to score a touchdown and then force the other team to try to, that means the other team has to drive 25 yards to try to score a touchdown to tie it. And if they can't, then you win. But if they punch it in, they go to another overtime.
you probably heard at the weekend about the big upset in the FIFA World Cup, did you?
What was, it was, didn't Croatia, I know Brazil got beat. Was it by Croatia? I don't remember the opponent. Yes,
no, that's absolutely right. And it was penalties. It was a penalties
and
that
hit the side post.
As I have said, unfortunately, I mean, I have not watched any of these games. I have no particular interest in the World Cup. I find it all a bit too predictable. However, a number of my brothers are big soccer fans, and one of them sent me a text after the Croatia-Brazil game.
Yeah.
And it really intrigued me. It said that the Croatian football team's coach, whose name is Slatko Dalic, prays the rosary for his team during a match.
Oh, wow.
And not only that, but there's all these photographs now doing the rounds on Twitter where he's seen carrying his rosary. And he sits, and there's a beautiful quote from him, which I'll just read here. He says, because, you know, football, like in any sport, it's very pressured for the coach sitting on the side. And he says, quotes, "The rosary is always with me. When I feel a little rough, I put my hand in my pocket, clasp the rosary, and everything becomes simpler." Now, I don't know about you. When I saw that, I'm no expert on international football. I just texted my brother back and said, Croatia are going to win the World Cup. You heard it here first.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Croatia will win the World Cup. Listen, if he's sitting there praying the rosary on the side, on these days of all days, I mean, this, I think they want it just on their Feast of Our Lady of Loreto. So there's something going on here. We had the Immaculate Conception, we have Loreto, we have Guadalupe today. There's a whole Feast of Marian days here. And then we have obviously the biggest Marian feast of all, which is Christmas. So I've got a funny feeling that Croatia are en route. What do you think?
It's going to be hard to stop. I've got Argentina winning the whole thing. I think they're still in it, right? And you know, of course, France, they're the defending champions, and you know, they proved it this past weekend beating England. They're just a tough team to beat. So, the best, you got to beat the best, right? So
you got to be in any competition.
we'll always see.
But let's ask Reed, our telephone talent coordinator. Reed, are you a big sports fan?
Are you a big sports fan?
I am.
Which sports are you into?
I'm mostly into baseball, as a matter of fact.
Baseball? Wow.
Yes, sir.
So what's your favorite, what's the big team in Mobile? What's the big baseball team?
Well, there used to be the Mobile Bay Bears, which was actually, the stadium was located right at the childhood home of Hank Aaron. But they moved away a couple years ago, so now the closest team is the Pensacola Blue Wahoos.
Wow. That's quite a name, isn't it? Say that again.
Pensacola Blue Wahoos. It's a type of fish.
I'm glad you're not asking me to spell it, Reed. So that's the team. So baseball. So what do you make of soccer, Reed?
I like it a lot. I've been paying a little bit of attention to the World Cup, but not too much.
What do you think of my prediction that if the Croatian football head coach is carrying his rosary around and praying it during the matches, that stands him in good stead? What do you think?
I think that'll help him a lot. I don't see any reason that would be an obstacle. I think that would be something that would be a boost to him.
No, somebody told me that you're a musician. Is that right?
I'm working with some musicians. I'm more of a writer of lyrics myself, but I'm working with some musicians.
And what type of music do you work with? What genre do they do?
Well, we're all in our 20s and everything, so it's like R&B, kind of pop, things like that.
Wow. And what does this band have a name?
Yes, it's called 1211. It's actually the number 12 and then 11 spelled out.
Is there some significance to that? Is that a biblical verse or?
No, it's not. It's not anything like that. Just something random that they thought of about 4 or 5 years ago.
So do you go on the road with these people?
I do every once in a while.
That must be fun.
It is. It's pretty crazy just traveling around, being in hotels and things like that.
Yeah. How do you deal with all the adulation?
Oh, well, not too much of it yet, but you kind of get used to it. Like, the more that you grow, it just is more exponential. Like, when you get more popularity, you get more used to it.
That's great. So, are you looking forward to working at Archangel?
I am. I'm having a great time so far. Everybody here is very nice. They're excellent people, and I'm very excited.
Now, you know the secret to all of this, Reed, though. You know, Mike likes his coffee black, two sugars. You know that.
Mm-hmm. I'll keep that in my notes.
Have that written on a piece of paper above your desk at all times. You know, and just make sure the coffee. Now, I've christened you our telephone talent coordinator. Is that okay for the moment?
That's fine.
Our audience out there are going to be calling in their droves on 888-928-0881. And the first person you're going to hear is Reed's friendly voice. And he is going to navigate you through the process of coming on air. And I'm sure you'll be very gentle with them all, Reed.
Yes, sir, I will.
And if anybody, and you feel free to just shout to them as they're coming on, though. That gets them in the mood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you live in Fairhope?
I don't. I live in a town called Summerdale. It's about 25 minutes from Fairhope.
That's good. So he's not very far away. And would you have listened to Archangel before you started working on it? Do you know the station?
I have just a little bit. And my mother actually does often and watches Evangelical or EWTN.
Mm-hmm. Well, make sure your mother knows that we're doing the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the top of the hour, Reed.
Yep,
and if
I
your
will.
Mother, what's your mother's name?
Lynn.
Would she be listening this morning?
She's at work right now, but
what a shame. Mm-hmm. Well, look, when she listens on the playback, we'll say, Lynn, we will be praying for you and on the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the top of the hour. We'll give Reed a little segment where he can come in, and I'm sure he'll pray for his mother and anybody else he wants. How about that?
All right, I appreciate it.
And then you can tell your mother that that you prayed for her on air, but that's great. Well, Reed, we're very happy to have you on board, and as I say, I hope you're not inundated with calls too quickly.
All right, thank you very much. I'm excited.
Good stuff. Okay, so wonderful feast day today, a wonderful feast day for especially everybody in the United States and everybody. That image of Our Lady of Guadalupe has now gone around the world. It's an image which is as popular in Europe as it is in the United States, and it's very particularly popular amongst pro-life groups, pro-life vigils in this country and throughout Europe. The image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the image of the pregnant Madonna, are held aloft and carried around and invoked the protection of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So when we come back, we will be speaking to Paul Badd about the history of that apparition and the story of the apparition. But we'll also be discussing some of the strange, mysterious scientific aspects that belong to it. And the other thing I'd like to say, that today is a great day of triumph for Our Lady and for the Church, because think about it. When the Reformation started in Europe, around about the time just before the apparition, 5 million Catholics were lost to Protestantism of one form or another. But what the history books don't tell you is that because of Our Lady of Guadalupe, there were 9 million conversions in the Americas, in the New World. So it's proof, that image, that Our Lady does not lose battles, just like the good Lord. Now, as I say, enjoy the music, the bumper music in between, because it's based upon notation found on the Tilma. But more of that coming up next. Stay with me here on Archangel Radio. Thank you.
Wright.
I'm Dr. Brandon O'Donnell, owner of Alabama Smile Design. My experienced team offers the finest quality care in cosmetic and implant dentistry along the Gulf Coast. Experience, minimally invasive dentistry, patient comfort in our newly renovated space, same-day full ceramic restorations, digital planning, and 3D printing. Call us today at 251-344-4994 or visit alabamasmiledesign.com.
Alabama Smile Design. Beautiful smiles to match a beautiful city.
Family owned and operated for over 40 years, Spectrum Collision has been serving the Mobile area by providing all types of auto services, including mechanic work, collision repair, auto glass service, tires, and 24-hour towing. Located at 7060 Airport Boulevard in Mobile, Spectrum Collision can be contacted at 251-342-0005 or speccall.com. That's speccol.com. Follow Spectrum Collision on Facebook.
Here's a sneak peek of this week's Archbishop Show.
What on earth is an ad limina visit?
Periodically, bishops are expected to go to Rome to pray at the tombs of St. Peter and St. Paul and to make a report to the Pope about how are things in the bishop's diocese.
The Archbishop Show first airs Friday at 11 a.m., and you can find full episodes on the Archangel Radio app and archangelradio.com, where you can find a replay schedule of the Archbishop Show.
Michael Berry of the Leadership Ethos Group.
What priests are required to do is free us into who we are supposed to be. And that's the essence of leadership. Once people are free to do and exercise their gifts and to be who they're supposed to be, to tell about themselves, to understand their stories, to walk with their wounds, then they're truly free and they will operate as best they can. And that's in leadership exactly what we want. And when we deny ourselves for the good of someone else, we do what they need, then we are able to lead them into freedom.
Father Chris Booten.
You know, people keep asking me, Father, what is this violent hands you're talking about, these aggressive hands you're always preaching about? Well, in the Catholic tradition, there's nothing that gives you better hands than having the rosary in them. And this is what we're about. Battles are won before they're fought by very often overwhelming the enemy with superior firepower. Catholicism is no different. We do have superior firepower because the Blessed Virgin Mary is the one that leads us into battle, and the rosary is the weapon of our times, St. Padre Pio said. And so having the rosary in our hands, praying it often, we overcome the enemy, we overcome the assaults of the devil, we win the battles with superior firepower. That's what Catholicism's about. That's how we get up and win every day. God bless you. Keep praying the rosary. Put in the work.
Here's Father Jim Sink, pastor of Blessed Francis Xavier Silos Parish in Malbus, on Sharing Our Faith.
While faith is very personal, it's not a personal thing. It has to be shared. That's the whole event of the disciple that we celebrate. The disciples are the apostles. You know, again, this idea that they were called, they received Christ, they received that great Easter gift of peace, they became courageous in the gift that was given in the Spirit, and then they went out to all the world. They did exactly as Jesus asked them to do. And that's what Archangel Radio is about. Going out to the world that we know as the Archdiocese of Mobile and proclaiming the truth that we know, that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is our gift, that Jesus Christ is the salvation of our lives. Churches are built upon that. This radio station is built upon that.
Helping you to share the faith, this is Archangel Radio. To be a part of our mission of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, call 251-928-2111 or email office@archangelradio.com.
Why are there so few practicing Catholics in public office? And by practicing, I mean Orthodox, faithful to all the Church's teachings. There are many thousands of good Catholic candidates for school boards, mayor seats, state senate, Congress, governorships, even the presidency. They're out there. Some of them may be listening right now. We need to spend less time complaining about faux Catholics out there and more of our time encouraging the real ones to get in the game. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1915, we read, "As far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life." Don't get me wrong, public life is not easy. The times are tough. But were they as tough as the first, say, 300 years of the Church? Haven't we as Catholics faced down more fearsome enemies than the ones we face today? I think so, too. I'm Patrick Coffin of PatrickCoffin.media. Be a saint. What else is there?
Here's Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde on The Gloria.
the Gloria that we pray at the beginning of the Mass. It is a collection of passages from the Bible put together. I don't know that people realize that as we pray the Gloria, how many passages from the Bible that we are incorporating into that prayer. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. That's from Psalm 138, that all the earth shall thank you, O Lord. And then we talk about you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That goes to John the Baptist, a statement at the Jordan River in the first chapter of John. And you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. That comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, that it is Christ who died, Paul says, rather was raised, and who also is at the right hand of the Father, who indeed intercedes for us. That's incorporated right into the Gloria. For you alone are the Holy One. That's from the 15th chapter of Revelations. And you alone are the Most High. That's from Psalm 38. All these passages are woven together to create the Gloria. And, I think sometimes we forget how much of the Bible is being used.
Learn more about your Catholic faith by listening daily to Archangel Radio.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And that beautiful music that we are using as our bumper throughout this morning is musical notation, which is derived from the Tilma of Our Lady, Juan Diego's Tilma, which Our Lady left that miraculous image upon. That is where that music comes from, that people have been able to work out from the various coordinates on it, that this is a musical notation, and they have put it together and created this rather beautiful music. And I hope you're enjoying it. I certainly love it. The more I've listened to it today, the more I think it's amazing. Now, if you have any questions or anything you want to say about Our Lady of Guadalupe, then we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to try our new telephone number out on 888-928-0881. You can speak to our telephone talent coordinator Reed. It's his first day. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Or you can text us on 251-928-2111. Two things. Anything to do with Our Lady of Guadalupe, anything to do with what Our Lady of Guadalupe means to you. What does she mean to you? What does that image mean to you? Has it been important in your life? We'd love to hear from you this morning. And then secondly, obviously keep in mind the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the top of the hour. We want to pray for you. Whatever your problems are, whatever your difficulties are, or somebody else's problems and difficulties, we would love to help you carry that burden by praying for you. So that's all coming up in the next hour. But listen, this show is interactive. It's about you, not about me. So give us a call, 888-928-0881. So I'm just going to check with Mike if our guest has turned up. Mike, have you any joy on that front?
Not at the moment. I am trying to get in touch with him, no luck. It just get a message from Verizon Wireless. So I'm going to keep calling. We're going to keep trying. So persistence is the key, and I'm sure we'll get them.
Well, we'll ask Our Lady of Guadalupe to pray for us that we can track down Paul. Paul Amen. Is one of those people whose writing I've known for many years. I've read a couple of his books and many of his articles. And one of the joys of doing a radio show is being able to speak to people who you've always thought, I'd love to have a quick word with so-and-so. You know, like it was like with Karen Eula last week. Karen is one of those people that I was always looking forward to talking to. And I'm sure you'll agree, we had a great chat last week. Talking of great chats, just to give you a heads up, this Wednesday, we've got Eleanor Borg Nicholson coming on the show, who's also a Gothic lady. She's also somebody who writes lots of Gothic romances and Gothic horror stories, but with a Catholic twist. And she's joining us on Wednesday to discuss werewolves. Yes, werewolves. Well, it's Gothic creations of all sorts, but her speciality, if you like, is werewolves. And she will be talking to us on Wednesday, full moon permitting, about why werewolves have turned up in her fiction. What's a good devout Catholic girl like her doing writing about werewolves. Now, I'm sure most of you have seen the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I'm sure most of you know something of the history of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So just to give you a little recap while we're getting sorted out here, it was December 9th, 1531, when Our Lady first appeared to Juan Diego. And as you know, Juan Diego was an indigenous native of the area that today is Mexico, which then was really New Spain. The Spanish had conquered that part of the world, the conquistadors, and but yet Our Lady appeared to this man called Juan Diego. And it was at dawn, a heavenly figure came to meet him. And this heavenly figure revealed herself as Mary, mother of all men, Mary, mother of each of us. And to confirm the vision, the lady not only entrusted him with several messages, which he had to then deliver to certain important personages, and that's always a good sign when you have to be humiliated, humbled even by the activities of these things. But the final vision of Our Lady to Juan Diego left this strange, this mysterious portrait upon his tilma. The tilma is the garment that the native, the indigenous people of that time wore. It's kind of a cloak, I guess, in our language. And it was imprinted upon the back of that. And this is a portrait of a young woman. I'm sure you know the image. It's a portrait of a young woman, and she's looking downward, and she's clothed in a dress figured with roses and a mantle spangled with stars. It's quite a sort of arresting image. I don't know, at any time I've seen it, I've always been struck by it. It's quite a beautiful image of Our Lady, and it's an image of a pregnant woman, which is very, very important. You probably, if you, any of you have seen the Mel Gibson film Apocalypto, you will be aware of the savagery of the times in which pagan religions dominated that part of the world. And one of the features of the indigenous cultures and their religion was child sacrifice. Now, this was not unique to this, to that part of the world. It was something which, if you read the Bible, certainly you will see that most cultures had a human sacrifice of one sort or another. In fact, the Jews, the Israelites, were very different from the people around them, that they did not have this idea of child sacrifice, or of human sacrifice, I should say, which was often children. But so this was something very different, that the people of God in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that they had a different idea of sacrifice, which we read about in books like Leviticus in the Old Testament. And then, so the pre-Christian world of the New World, as it was then, of North America and Central America and South America, there was a scourge of child sacrifice and of human sacrifice. And as I say, if you watch the Mel Gibson film Apocalypto, which I have to warn you is not for the faint-hearted, there's a lot of blood. It's not for young people. But in that, you get the idea of this great savagery, this great... it's a prelude, really, to what comes next, which is the coming of Christianity. And people are moved away from that idea of human sacrifice to something much more about the real sacrifice, which is the sacrifice of Christ, which is once and for all, but perpetuated in the Holy Mass forever for our benefit. So, God became man so that he could become our once and only sacrifice. So so it's in that context then that the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe appears in the New World to the people who have been conquered, to the conquered people. And she appears like one of them. That's the other thing about the image of Guadalupe. Our Lady is appearing as the people to whom she has come to help them in their faith. And that's what happens in Guadalupe. So as I say, Paul Goddard has written a very fascinating book all about this in much more depth in the history of it. But there's a number of other books written about Our Lady of Guadalupe. In particular, there was a book which I was reading and reviewing a few years ago called The Guadalupe Mysteries, Deciphering the Code, by a Polish writing team. One deals with photography and the other deals with the copy. Gorny and Rezikon is the team's name. And that was published also by Ignatius Press, and it's an absolutely beautiful book, very well put together with some really good history. But the images are superb throughout the book. And what it really does is map the historical background, but also the cultural significance of what took place, but then also the wider significance of how this image has come to be tested by scientists down through the ages to its veracity and to what could have created it. Because like the Turin Shroud, the default position for the world is that this image is somehow man-made. I'm sure you'd agree with that, that somehow the image of Our Lady is somehow made by paint or some such, and that's the thing which has, I guess, intrigued but also plagued to some extent the images both at Turin and also the one in Guadalupe. So in this other book, Decoding the Mystery of Guadalupe Mysteries, Deciphering the Code, they start with that sort of question, really. They start with a puzzle. How did this image appear upon this Aztec garment, the tilma? And it sort of places it, as I said at the start, in the context of what was happening, not just in the New World, which was the creation of a Catholic New World, which is still there today in Mexico, Central and Southern America, South America, but also the fact that it came at a time of the Protestant Reformation in Europe. And there was so much of a loss of Catholicism in the traditional Christian countries such as Germany and the Scandinavian countries and Holland, Switzerland, these parts which were nowhere as Catholic as any other part of Europe, suddenly went over to Luther or Calvin. And as I say, they reckon 5 million Catholics suddenly became Protestants. Whereas after that, after the Guadalupe appearance of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 9 million Catholics, believers, entered the church in the New World. What were these mass conversions? And they were mass conversions taking place. Was it a coincidence? I don't think so. I think it's directly linked to the miraculous image that we have today. But the centuries that followed that were to disclose stranger things still about the image. Events that may even point to the image having a greater significance than it was a catalyst, if you like, for conversion in Mexico and in the New World. You see, as we know, and we've heard of people like Blessed Miguel Pro and these sorts of people, we know that over the years, Mexico would move between public faith and public persecution of the faithful, that there was this kind of oscillation between clericalism and anti-clericalism. And kingdoms would rise and fall and republics would emerge and large swathes of land would be lost in the wars to the United States and others, and corruption would reign. We also know that later in Mexico, there was all sorts of Masonic propaganda that became rampant. And as I said, with Miguel Pro, we know of the martyrs who would gain their crown. In less than 100 years ago, in the 1930s, whilst crying out for their executioners that Christ is the only true king. And yet all the while, at the heart of that nation's capital in Mexico City, in the darkened stillness of that huge basilica that houses it, candles continued to burn before the ever-present, ever-watchful gaze of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Our Lady of Guadalupe in that image in Mexico City has become the epicenter of faith, not just in Mexico, but probably across the New World, what we term the New World, which is all of the Americas, from the north, from Alaska down to Argentina. It's that idea of a new world, a world distinct from Europe. And Our Lady of Guadalupe plays a very important part of that. And that's why this feast day is such an important feast. So what the events of December 1531 is not just some sort of historical artifact. It's more precious than that. And I would maintain more thought-provoking than that. The tilma with the image of the woman seems to be present in a mysterious way throughout the troubled history of the land and nation where and for whom it appeared. And yet, simultaneously, during these centuries, it appears to be revealing hidden secrets. Yes, you heard that correct. It's a bit like the Turin Shroud. The Turin Shroud is more famous and more mysterious today than in the medieval period. Why? Because science has interrogated it, and rather than finding an answer, has discovered more questions. And in a similar way, that is what's happened to the tilma. And when we come back in the next segment, unless we can get our guest, I shall tell you a little bit more about that. Mike, I don't think we've any joy on the guest front, have we?
Not currently, but when we come back from the break, Ellen is a Our Lady of Guadalupe expert historian, so she will join us for that third segment and talk okay. all about it, okay?
Okay, that's great. All right, well, so stay with us here on Archangel Radio. We're talking Our Lady of Guadalupe today on this great feast day.
Alabama Auto Service Center on Highway 98 in Daphne is a proud supporter of Archangel Radio. Locally owned and operated for over 35 years as Goodyear of Daphne, they offer tires and service for cars and light trucks, all backed by a nationwide warranty. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, and until noon on Saturday. Alabama Auto Service Center is located at 28160 Highway 98 and can be reached at 251-626-0002.
Mercy Life of Alabama is a PACE program or program of all-inclusive care for the elderly and offers a full range of health care services for seniors 55 or older who are eligible for nursing home care but want to live at home. Mercy Life of Alabama believes it is better for the well-being of seniors with chronic care needs to be served in the community whenever possible. At Mercy Life of Alabama, your health is our ministry. You can reach us at 1-855-367-6562 or visit mercylifeal.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Turley Frequency, where we are celebrating Our Lady of Guadalupe and the mysterious image upon Juan Diego's tilma. This is a wonderful feast day, it's a feast day of great mystery, and that's maybe the way it should be in the winter months. We were talking last week about fairy tales and that sense of mystery, the sense of darkness, the sense of sitting around the fire telling great tales of that excite our imagination. Well, as I've said from the start of this show, since we started this show many weeks ago, that the best stories are often the true stories, and the best true stories are those in regard to faith. And Our Lady of Guadalupe is an absolutely incredible story. And I'm hoping here with me now to discuss aspects of it is Ellen Taylor, who is the station manager. Ellen, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me on, Kevin. And
it's a pleasure.
I'm not sure that I'm an expert on Guadalupe. I like to say that I'm a pilgrim because...
Have you been to the image?
Yes, I have.
And tell me about that.
I have been, and just for reference, I've been to Fatima I've been to Lourdes, and I've been to Guadalupe in Mexico City.
And I think, you know, in Marian terms, that's probably the triple crown. What do you reckon?
It is. I'm covered.
I think it's good. I've been to Lourdes, I've been to Fatima, but I haven't been to Guadalupe. And I have to say, I mean, I've been wherever I've wanted to go, but I have to say that Guadalupe, Our Lady Guadalupe in Mexico City, I would make a trip for that. So tell me, what was it like? I mean, first of all, what's the Basilica like?
The Basilica is very busy. It's right now in the heart of Mexico City. And Mexico City is a city that now has about 21 million residents. So in the midst of this busy metropolis, and at least for us here, Kevin, you know, it's a plane ride away. I had flown from Miami and, you know, 16 flights a day going to Mexico City. But you get there, you're in a very busy, busy metropolis. But where the shrine sits is the grounds that it covers. And the one good thing is they allowed for the space of it. So you can really have some beautiful, majestic moments. You start at the top of the hill where Juan Diego first saw the Blessed Mother, and she asked, had the bishop build a chapel. So the smallest, oldest chapel is at the top. And as you come, wind your way down the hill, you've then got a slightly bigger one built sometime afterwards. And a little farther down the hill, you've got an even bigger one that was probably built maybe 100 or 150 years ago. And at the very bottom, you have the ginormous basilica, which has now been built because the pilgrims keep coming. And when they come, they want to pray. They want to worship our Lord. They want to honor Our Lady. And so they just have to keep building it. And what is good is once you enter the grounds, the sounds of the busy city just fade away. And it's beautifully done with plants and bright colored flowers as you wander through the property. And so when you start at the big basilica, you're actually doing it in reverse, as I just listed. You climb up the hill and you see the slightly smaller church. Mm-hmm. And then you wind your way around, you see the smaller one before that. And then you get to the top. When you make your way and get to that top point, the little first church to honor Our Blessed Mother. And the people that came from all over, there were a number of American pilgrims there, but mostly, at least when I was there, there was a lot of Latin American, because this is a beloved shrine for us in the Americas. And as you know, I grew up in Miami, where there's a large Latin American population. So Our Lady of Guadalupe, she was honored as in a place of honor in homes, when we would have our feasts and celebrations. This was a very important part of the culture there. So I always had an affinity for that. And then, of course, being an American, she came to convert the continent, this continent that was born on. And so she's my mother, and I claim her for Absolutely. All of the Americas who were born
here.
Well,
I think that's the impression that we have this side of the Atlantic, mm-hmm. that this is an image and a feast day for all the Americas. You know, mm-hmm. it's Our Lady of, whether you're Mexican or from the United States or Canadian or Argentinian or Bolivian or Peru, it doesn't matter. Our Lady, is that how it's felt, do you think, across Americas?
It is. And definitely in Miami, you would have all of the different countries have their, you know, maybe more, minor tweaks on how they celebrated it in Argentina or Colombia or something. But she is our mother. Of course, the Mexicans, they claim her as their own, which is, you know, that's where it sits, mm-hmm. the shrine in Mexico City. And there is a very simple, true, humble love for the Blessed Mother through Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I think that comes through too, is that a lot of people in our contemporary culture that maybe have fallen away from the faith, particularly in Latin America, and not living the Catholic life to the fullness that they should, you will probably in most every home find a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the home of any Latin American family.
Now, I don't know if you've been listening, Ellen, to the beautiful music that we've been coming in and out with at the starts and in intros.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have.
Well, that music you probably know, but the Tilma, in 1981, there was a discovery made, and I'm sure you know all this, that the arrangement of the stars on the image resembled that which astronomers were able to say was the configuration of the night sky over Mexico on the 12th of December, 1531, the day of the apparition.
Wow.
Can you believe that? Yeah. Now, these are scientists. These are not people of faith. These
right.
are scientists. But an equally surprising 1988 finding was that when a map of Mexico was placed over the image, it revealed what scientists term an uncanny conformity to the geographic elements and iconography shown on the map. But there's a stranger one, and this is where I'm coming. The relics seem not only to speak of Earth and stars. So it has the night sky, and it has the earthly image or the earthly hills and mountains of Mexico, but it also seemed to sing. Because in 1979, and these are recent, I can remember 1970, these are recent things, a mathematician discovered within the image what's known as a golden ratio and was able to arrange the symbols within the image to produce musical notation. And that's what we're hearing today.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, now that sounds like strange, but if two-minute search online, you will find that this is all scientifically sort of verified, that this image keeps coming up with very strange. This is what I mean about the more scientists look for an answer, the more questions this image provokes. But I'm going to ask you this, because you're a child of the Americas,
yes.
Ellen, and a great devotee of Our Lady Guadalupe, rightly so. Where is or what is the first historical account of this? Where is the first written historical source?
Oh, that I don't know. I would assume the bishop would have written about it when Juan Diego came to him and showed him the Tilma.
Well, he may have done, but according to this book I was reading, it's the Nikon Mapua. Have you ever heard of this, the Nikon Mapua?
No, I have not.
It was written by a man called Antonio Valerino. And he knew Juan Diego personally. And the publication date for this book was about 100 years after the apparition. So it caused some doubt amongst the inevitable skeptics about the very existence of this witness. But funny enough, in the 1980s, a discovery was made at the New York Public Library. Can you believe this? Now, this sort of thing really excites my imagination. New York Public Library in the 1980s, right? And a copy of this Nikon Mapua dating from the 16th century, i.e. in the same century as Juan Diego, turned up. And shortly after that, in 1995, another important document was unearthed. It was something called the Codex Escalda, which is the oldest account of the apparitions, and it dates from 1548.
Wow.
So that's relatively recent. Remember that the apparition happened 1531.
Right.
1548, we have a written account. Now, in the 16th century, that's quick.
That's like breaking news.
but here's the thing, Ellen. Those two books that I've told you about, they have strangely resurfaced in our own time. And one of them in particular resurfaced in New York in our own time. And this is what I mean about the strangeness, the mysterious quality of this garment, this apparition, but also the apparition's imprint, is that it keeps sort of asking questions of us. Would you agree?
That is fascinating to me. And a couple points to that. If something is miraculous, when you tell me the stars align and stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, because it's miraculous. Because everything from its inception in physical earthly terms, it should not exist, but it does.
I know.
And that is the glory of God coming through. So when you have all these other elements that hundreds of years later are proved true, the night sky, all these things, you're like, yeah, that makes sense because It shouldn't make sense from the beginning.
Well, take that a little bit further, Ellen.
Okay.
This is a piece of cloth from the 1500s.
Yes.
It should have long since degraded and disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 18th century, in the 1700s, scientists did tests on the relics material. And their published results, these are scientists again, who are out to, I guess, say that it's a fraud, confirmed that the material seemed to have what they described as an unparalleled durability.
Wow. Makes sense.
And this was especially perplexing as copies of the tilma that had been made using similar material and paint quickly and swiftly deteriorated and rotted.
Mm-hmm.
But just on that point of paint, before we finish, because I know you're going to go, but the painting business. In 1751, a group of artists led by a man called Miguel Cabrera decided to reproduce the image using paint.
Okay.
5 years later,
mm-hmm.
they admitted defeat. Try as they might, they could not determine the technique that had been used to produce the image.
Wow.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it gets better. In 1936, a German Nobel Prize-winning chemist called Professor Richard Kuhn was unable to identify the dye present on the fibers of the image.
Mm.
Right? This is a Nobel Prize-winning chemist, and he could not identify the dye present on the fibers of the image.
Wow.
And in 1979, again in our time, mysteriously, with the aid of infrared radiation, it was confirmed by scientists, not by people of faith, there is no evidence of any paintbrush having ever been used on the image.
That is beautiful. See, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Maybe, Kevin, I'm going to leave you now, but during your chaplet, you can pray for all of us in the Americas and pray for our new way that we are sacrificing children through abortion. That is our new evil, and we got to pray for that. I'm going to step away. You have a great day.
Ellen, thank you so much for stepping in and talking
welcome.
Our Lady of Guadalupe. Back after these words with the Divine Mercy Chaplet.